So we were discussing the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Aleph. We were jumping around a little bit. So the Gemara basically tells us, when it's talking about the why it is that you have to say B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechtam, so the reason of Rava is because of the concern that Eidim will not be Mitzuyim Lakaimo, that if you bring a get from Eretz, from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, that since the communication and the travel is all, nothing has changed, right? It's still all, they strike all the time, and the country's on strike. And
only outgoing, not incoming.
Only outgoing. Oh, yeah, outgoing. Outgoing. My son, actually, even as we speak, is on the plane. Ah. He actually got on the plane, so we're very happy. Because of that consideration, they required B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechtam. And then the Gemara discusses, very good, that's all fine and well, but does it work? Right? Because Eid Echad, the Shliach is only an Eid Echad, and therefore he should not really have the ability to authenticate this shtar. So that's what the Gemara says here on Gimel Amud Aleph, that, why should this work? So the Gemara says that Bedinhu Devekim Shtaros Nami Loli Bai, right? Really, really, you shouldn't require Kim Shtaros at all, meaning there should be no need to authenticate a contract. Kidu Reish Lakish. This is the magical Reish Lakish. Now, Reish Lakish, Eda Machsim Al Ashtar, Nasa Kamisha Nechkara Edusan Bebezin. Because Reish Lakish says that we treat Eda Machasumim, we treat witnesses signed on a contract as if they not only are kosher Edim, which itself is a Kiddush, but that as if they were already interrogated and passed muster in the interrogation. We treat them as if they, went through the process and were established as authentic. So it's all very well and good to say this, but it's a kind of a virtual chakira process. But as we discussed last week or mentioned, the whole institution of shtar is a problematic and extremely ambitious. And the Reish Lakish is kind of the cornerstone. His statement really, captures, both the ambition and the problem. The ambition because we're treating Eidus Shebishtar as if it is more powerful, more, convincing, more compelling than Eidus Alpeh, even though the Eidus Shebishtar don't necessarily see anything, right? They don't even have to be there at the time of the Halva, the Kiddushin, the Gerushin, the Mekach. Moreover, even if we knew, that at least then we would know for sure that there were Edim and that they were authentic and they signed. But what Reish Lakish is telling us is that there's a kind of a self-protective mechanism, in a contract, and that, pushes the limits of, the catch-22 intrigue. Namely, the shtar defends itself against the attack that it's fraudulent. So, how does that even work? There's no real answer, full answer to the question. I mean, there is an answer, but either way, what it highlights is how just extraordinarily effective, ambitious shtar is. And the fact that there's no limud for Reish Lakish, but that Reish Lakish simply reconstructed this and formulated it. No one disagrees with Reish Lakish, pretty much. There's no Rabbi Yochanan, to rely on, or no one's saying that, this other sugya, rejects. I'm not aware of anybody who ever said that anybody disagrees with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish formulated what is a fully accepted concept, and this concept is very far-reaching and ends up having huge impact. So that's one of the things we want to discuss. So there are really two problems with Reish Lakish. One problem is the very effectiveness of shtar no matter what. Even if you were to have Edim in a shtar, we knew 1,000% that the signators were real Edim and that the signatures therefore are authentic. Even if we knew absolute certainty that, you know, their chasima indicated that they were present and attest to the actual transaction or the event itself, which we don't, because it doesn't need to. But let's say we did, right? Even then, let's say there was something about a particular shtar where we knew that to be the case. Even then, there would be an important issue and question about the legitimacy of a shtar. That because of the other sugya that we mentioned the last time, which is quoted by the Gemara in Gittin and Yevamos, and Rashi ala Torah, namely the Torah says, Al-Pi Shnayim Edim, Mipiem, Velo Mipi Ksava. So even if you were to have a Ksav Edus Bishtar, you know, that, you know, there was no doubt about, you know, its, you know, authenticity, or about the, actually, you know, the testimony that is actually being conveyed, and in a way, the principle of the Pi'im V'lo Mipi Ksava is almost, you know, the opposite problem. Like, if somebody writes a Ksav Edus, somebody writes a deposition, you know, when he sends it to the court, you know, it sounds like there's a problem with that. We'll get, you know, we'll sum it up in a minute. And actually, the issue is like, what's wrong with that? He says, I was here, I saw it, I witnessed it. Instead of coming, you know, and articulating that in the presence of the three judges, let's say, so he's being deposed. And then probably there's a way to depose people, you know, so that there can be some sort of quality control, that there can be a little of, you know, pachad, you know, a little bit of fear, you know, as a deterrent so that they wouldn't, you know, play fast and loose with the process. Like in secular law, right, they depose people, right?
Yeah, but in that position, there is an opposing attorney who can ask questions.
Yeah, okay.
It's supposed to be an affidavit or two devil.
Right, okay, I mean, the whole, right, I'm just saying, there could have been, that doesn't seem to be the problem, is what I'm saying. The problem seems to be, or it could be that's the problem, but the point is that's an over, you know, comable problem. The problem seems to be that there's a Xeris HaKasa that says that we want you to articulate this Edus and to be in the actual physical, maybe again, it's part of the intimidation of Eum. You know, it's very hard to know. But, so on the one hand, you have like two opposite problems. On the one hand, you know, we don't understand so much, or initially we'll say, what the problem is with, you know, the Piksavam, but that seems to be, you know, invalid. And at the same time, we're sanctioning Reish Lakish, where they didn't even necessarily see anything. So you have these two opposite problems. So as far as the first problem is concerned, that's a massive topic, but I alluded to it very quickly, so I'll say another couple of words about it. And that is that, you know, the Rambam, as we saw last week in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Eidos Halacha Daled, if you took the Rambam at face value, meaning that he's, you know, he means what he says and that's all he thinks about it, meaning there's no implicit, you know, limitation about what he says. And there are people who took it this way. Certainly the Ramban, who, you know, critiques him, took it that way. And even some of the defenders of the Rambam, meaning who try to explain what he does, you know, with, you know, Shas, and the institution of Shtar, which does seem, including Reish Lakish, to be very valid, you know, they are taking the Rambam, many of them, at literal, you know, face value. So the Rambam basically seems to say that the Edus of any shtar, because of the limitation of Mipiyam V'lo Mipi Ksavam, is only Midibrei Sofrim. And by Midibrei Sofrim here, he means clearly Midrabanan, because he says it's based on the Takana, the benefit of Shemotinol Veles Bifnei Lavin. We want to encourage people, you know, to transact with each other, and if we were to impose the strict Din Torah, right, that only Edus Bibezdin is going to be accepted, then that would, you know, curtail, maybe even paralyze, you know, economic activity. And therefore, Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lavin, right, they expanded the vehicles that can be used for, you know, evidence, so that, you know, people would have more confidence, you know, and contracts, you know, could be used not only to effectuate things, but also to prove that, you know, transactions took place, etc. That's a simple reading of the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchos, Eidus Havacha, Dalid, Din Torah Shei Mekaben, Eidus Lobedini Mamanus, Lobedini Nefasha, Solomi Pi Ha'edim, Shenemra Pishna, and Eidim Mi Piyam, Velomi Piksavon, Velomi Ksav Yadon, sorry, Avon Bidivre Sofrim, Shechot Kin Dine Mamanus Beidus Shabashtar, Avon Pishaino Eidim Kayamim, Kedesha Lotun of Dalus Bifne Lab. They done in Beidus Shabashtar, Bidine Knasos, and Sarchoma, Makos, Begalus, Elmi Piyam, Velomi Piksavon. And some people suggested that, you know, this spills over into the Rambam's view of our Gemara, which is, you know, the Din of Reish Lakish, and the fact that Kiyum Shtaros, you know, only seems to be Durabanan. Well, here the Rambam, is either way, it's problematic, but the question is a related problem or a separate problem? Kvar Biarnu, the next Rambam, Perek Vav, Alach Aleph, She Kiyum Shtaros Midibrayim, Kiyum Shtaros is only Durabanan. So that's a bit of a problem, because the Rambam, okay, should have said it was Daraisa, but the Ramban accuses the Rambam, this case incorrectly, of misreading what the words Kiyum Shtaros Midivrayim are. He says, oh, did the Rambam read Kiyum Shtaros Midivrayim as if the Shtar is Drabanan? That's not true. It's the Kiyum Hashtar. The need to authenticate is Drabanan. That's because the contract is so Daraisa and ironclad that Minatora doesn't need any, you know, defense. Does the Rambam reading it that, you know, the Shtar is Drabanan and the Kiyum Shtaros is a condition for the Shtar Drabanan? That's how the Ramban is accusing the Rambam of reading, and that's why he, you know, probably, he doesn't spell it out. This isn't Sefer Mitzvot, the Ramban, but he doesn't spell it out, but that's what the words Kadesh Lotino Delos Bifnei Lavin, either way, that's a problem. Meaning, the Lotino Delos Bifnei Lavin is the Rambam's explanation in Parakimel Halacha Dalid, seemingly why, even though a shtar is only drabanan, or the edush of a shtar is a drabanan, nonetheless we allow for it. And that's a drabanan explanation. So how could that also be the explanation for Kiyum Shtaros being drabanan? Shalotino Dallas. So the Lecha Mishnah, everybody's troubled by the Ramach, and everybody's, you know, troubled by it. They suggest different things. The Lecha Mishnah actually has a very interesting insight, in which he says, listen, the big idea here is Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lavin. That's why the Rambam says that Shtaros are Medivrei Sofrim. Right? But for that very same reason, once you're going that route, you know, you also have to have some control. Like, you're not going to abandon the Daraisa completely, because that also isn't good for commerce. Meaning, two things are, we know this, we see it, you know, every single day, right? Instability and the lack of confidence, you know, is any always, you know, terrible, you know, for the marketplace. Right? People, you know, will refrain from transacting, you know, either if the regulation is, like we talked about last week, the regulation is too tight or regulation is too loose. You know, they're either, you know, handcuffed or they feel that there's no way to protect, you know, their interests. So the Lecha Mishnah is a fascinating explanation of the Rambam Perek Vav Halachah. Either way, it's problematic, because how could the Shtar be Midivrei Sofrim Midin Shalotino Delas, and also the Kiyum Shtar be Midrabanan Midin Shalotino Delas? They're opposite sides. One is explaining why it's effective, the other is explaining a limit on it. So the Lecha Mishnah's solution is to say, yeah, because the bigger idea, what the Rambam is saying is the bigger idea is Lotino Deles, and since the bigger idea is Lotino Deles, so that cuts both ways, so, you know, you're going to allow Shtaros, you know, to operate, but, you know, but at the same time, you're going to let them operate, you know, with a nod to the fact that, you know, inherently they shouldn't work, and therefore they need some propping up. That's the way he explains it. I would add, you know, and moreover, Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lavin itself cuts both ways, and we sometimes use it used in the other way. Like, you know, Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lavin is something that allows the Malva to collect, usually, right? But the truth is the purpose, the raison d'etre of Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lavin is to help the Lova. Right? But there's a, you know, a very realistic, you know, understanding that if a malveh is not feeling protected, you know, then he's going to be tight-fisted, you know, with his capital, you know, and then the lova is going to, you know, suffer. So again, this is exactly the point, meaning it's in the best interest of the debtor that the creditor should have confidence in the system. That's how I would interpret the Rambam. I mean, this is a balanced book to Noldelis. Lechemish is not saying exactly that. He's saying the idea of star is Lotinoldelis, and therefore Kim Staros Durabanan is a requirement too, because, you know, even though it's Lotinoldelis, it's only because of Lotinoldelis, and therefore don't, like, you know, get carried away. Don't think you don't need some sort of, you know, authentication, at least, in order to justify the Lotinoldelis. I'm taking it a little bit further and explaining that Lotinoldelis is intrinsically, you know, a dialectical, you know, kind of vehicle, you know, both for the Malva and the Lova, you know, easing conditions for the Malva, but for the sake of the Lova. And by the same token, you know, this balance of, you know, regulation and protection at the same time, sorry, a regulation and not over-regulation, you know, is part of that as well. Anyway, that's the point. Others interpret the Rambam. I should add one other thing, and that is the Rambam in the Chizkerish in Perek Zayin Alachabes, which we'll get back to, is also sometimes perceived by some of the Mefarshim as being connected to this sheet of the Rambam. Because here the Rambam does seem to say that there will be a case of Kim Shtaros Doraisa, meaning that an error against a contract will be effective min haTorah. Here's what the Rambam says in Perek Zayin Havlacha Beis of Hilchos Gerushin: Ba habal v'irer, if a baal comes along and, in the case of a get, he challenges, meaning he says the get that was delivered or that you are holding is not authentic. That's what he says. The Omar Logi Rashi Me'olam, the Getshu Huvalam Mizuyafu, Yiskayim Bechosamav. So you need to authenticate the get. So far, so good. I mean, that's, you know, everybody will agree with that. But then he adds, Bimlon Yiskayim, if he's not able to verify the signatures, right, the lo noda, no nodu, sorry, edav, klal. Now this is an interesting line. And the Sivas thinks it's crucial, other people don't, but I'll explain in a minute. It's the Edom are not known at all. Teitse vavlad mamzer, sharinim gureshes. Meaning the Rambam says that the challenge, if you cannot neutralize it, is a doraisa effective challenge. Right? Elvan again, doraisa suffic migureshes. So, this of course is a very controversial Rambam, because our Gemara here in Dav Gimel Amud Aleph precisely seemed to say that what? That min haTorah, you don't need any kiyum whatsoever. The only reason you, because of Reish Lakish, the Rabbanan hu da'atzruch. The Rabbanan required kiyum when there's a challenge, or even if there's not, to go forward. And therefore we rely on Neid Echad. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that kiyum shtaros is always midrabanan. If kiyum shtaros is always midrabanan, how can it ever produce the absence of kiyum shtaros? How can that ever produce a mamzer? Right? So clearly the Rambam, now there's some other controversy which we'll get back to also. Is this only in Gerushin that the Rambam thinks that the Baal's error could in some cases completely undermine the get? Or is it true in Dini Mamlis as well? We don't have a parallel passage in Dini Mamlis for the Rambam. We'll discuss the famous debate between Rabbi Avigdor and the Or Zeruah in a few minutes, but the Rambam might be limited to the Gerushin. The Rav thought that this Rambam might be limited to Gerushin. But either way, it's very, very problematic. So there are those who suggest that the Rambam's view, which seems to be against the Gemara, we'll see in a moment, not necessarily, is connected to his bigger view. Namely, anyways, he holds that, you know, Shtaros Armi Divrei Sofrim. So how difficult is it, you know, to challenge, you know, meaning that the self-protective mechanism of the shtar is based on Reish Lakish, You know, and for the Rambam, the whole Reish Lakish is a problem because of Mipiyim v'lo Mipiksava. So maybe that's why he's also more open to an Iror Doraisa than the Kim Shtaros Doraisa, because for him, Shtaros to begin with are Medivrei Sofer. And others disagree. The other alternative in the Rambam, there are several alternatives in the Rambam, in all the Rambams, but in the bigger picture, is that two things I'll mention very quickly. Some people suggest for the Rambam, including the Lecha Mishnah, that the Rambam only meant that Shtaros are Medivrei Sofrim in a case where Afal Pi She'ena Edim Kayamim. That those are the key words. That's the Lecha Mishnah's suggestion. Meaning, as long as the Edim are alive, then even the Rambam will say that not only is the Kinyan part of the Shtar Minatora, but even the Raya of that Shtar Kinyan is Minatora. But once, you know, the Edim are no longer alive, so then the Edus of the Shtar, you know, is only Medivrei Sofer, and it's only Mishum Takonos Nilos Delos. That's how they read Afal Pi She'ena Edim Kayamim, right? Kedei Shelo Tino Delos B'Tnei Lavin. But if they're Kayamim, then that's not Medivrei Sofer, and that's Medivrei Torah. If that were to be true, that would solve a lot of the textual evidence against the Rambam. But, you know, again, it's a little problematic because, I mean, if we buy into Reish Lakish, that's the whole point, is Edom Achsum Ashtar Nasi Kimish Nechor Yisum Bebezdin. So, like, why do they need to be alive? Right. Or maybe the issue is whether they're alive at the moment of Kabbalah Zedus or not. But even then, if we take Reish Lakish seriously, that shouldn't matter. But that's a Lecha Mishnah. The other very popular explanation of the Rambam, I think I mentioned last time, is that the Rambam maybe distinguishes between Shtari Kinyan and Shtari Raya. Okay, but there are two versions of this that I'm just going to mention very quickly. One is in the Sivas. Sivas says this in, you know, his commentary. In Siman Chav Kes, and again in Siman Nevav, he says it a few times. Basically, what he argues is that whenever we're dealing with a Shtar Kinyan, so the focus is on the agreement, right? And as far as the agreement is concerned, you have, you know, Edim. The idea that, you know, we rely on the Shtar to assume, you know, not only that he agreed to the divorce or requested the divorce, which is, you know, something that doesn't, that's not heavy lifting, you know, it's not edus on the maisa gerushin, it's just edus on his das lagarish, so that's kind of like ed echad, you know, or like, you know, shnayim edim that are kind of in between isurim and mamon, and that could take place even outside of a bezdin, there's no problem on the piyam v'lom piksavam. As for the assumption that it actually, you know, ended up that there was a Mesira for a Kedushin, for a Gerushin, for a Mekach, for a Milva, etc., says the Nesivas, that's based on an Umdana, that's based on Anan Saadi. So you have Edus on the Ratzon, and that doesn't need to be in court because it's a lesser, you know, kind of category. And then as far as the, you know, the high stakes, you know, high demanding requirement, that actually is going to be accomplished, that's also a chiddush, by a very strong umdana, anan sa'adi. That's the position of Nesivas. However, he says, when it comes to, that's all fine and good, because you have, you know, you can get this off the ground, because the initial agreement, you know, there's edus on, and therefore it has some sort of status, and that's when you have a shtar kinyan. But if you have a shtar raya, then what you're trying to do is you're trying to have the edim shebishtar, you know, be the edim on the action, because they don't have any other function. So in that case, you know, they fall short. They need to be in bezim to be a raya on the maisa. There's nothing else but a raya on the maisa, and therefore that's a problem. Piyam v'lom piksavam, real edus on a maisa kinyan, a maisa gerushin, a maisa kiddushin. You know, that, you know, level, that threshold demand requires, you know, edus bebezin, not mipiksavam. So that's a very fascinating perspective of the Nesibos. Reb Chaim has the same distinction, you know, but for a totally different reason. Reb Chaim argues also that if we're talking about Shtar Kinyan, meaning Shtar Kiddushin, Shtar Gerushin, Shtar Necher, anything like that, Shikur Eved, if any of those, then not only is the Kinyan Min HaTorah, but the Eidos is Min HaTorah as well. Only in a Shtaraya do we say that the Eidos is a problem of Mipiyan B'mon Piksal. Now the question is, why? So if you look at Reb Chaim's discussion of this in Perek Gimel Hilchos Eidos Halacha Dalet, it's very ambiguous. He might be saying, well, since this accomplishes Kinyan, it already has like a certain kind of stature, and therefore we don't just look at it as second-hand Eidos Mipiksavam, meaning its stature as a Kinyan kind of elevates, you know, even the Eidim, you know, within it. Maybe that's what he's saying. It sounds a little bit like that. The Rav had a different take on this Reb Chaim, you know, Mipi HaShmua, and he used to explain it in the following way. So just to explain this, I'm just going to take a step back for a moment. Most Rishonim, you know, obviously disagree with the Rambam. I already mentioned that Rabbeinu Tam taught the exact opposite of the Rambam. This is all quite well known, and I think we read it already. The Rashi in his Perush Al HaTorah says that, you know, Ein Adam Kosei Vigeras Shaleidus Bebezin, because that's a problem with Pim Vlom Viksavam. I mean, you can't write your testimony and send it into the court. I mentioned last time, it's very rare for Rashi in his Perush Al HaTorah to be weighing in on a halachic matter like this. And then we know that it was controversial because, you know, the Bali Tosis are filled with all this. And Rabbeinu Tam, his grandson, said, I disagree. You know, he said, I think you can send Eidos Biksav into court. What can't you do according to Rabbeinu Tam? This we discussed last time, we read the Gemara. Somebody who's in a roi, lahagada, alpeh, is not able to write his testimony and send it. An elaim is mufka me'edus biksav. Probably the idea is that, you know, there's only one way to do edus, and that's edus. And, you know, you can still do ksiva kedibor, but you can only do ksiva kedibor if you have the capacity of dibor, so then you can speak through your writing. If you don't have the ability to speak, right, then your writing is not considered speech either. And therefore, you fall short. That's Rabbeinu Tam's take. In other words, this is what, you know, many, you know, the Farshim have noted. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam are polar opposites in this topic. Both of them are trying to find out how Shtar could coexist. Everybody's trying to figure out how Shtar could coexist with the principle of Mipiyam V'lo Mipik Savam. The Rambam took a very expansive view of Mipiyam V'lo Mipik Savam, and therefore had very limited, you know, capacity for Shtar Doraisa. And Rabbeinu Tam did the opposite. He thought the Shtar, you know, Doraisa is the norm. And Mipiyam V'lo Mipik Savam, you know, is not such a damaging halakha. It's a very limited, very narrow halakha. But there isn't like a mainstream middle view. I mentioned it, you know, a few times before. The Baal Amor in Masechet Yevamos says, you know, basically what the Baal Tosfos say, but he says it in a pithier way. He says, there is a principle of Mipiyam V'lo Mipik Savam, but there's no principle of Mipiyam V'lo Mipik Savo, by which he meant to say what the Baal Tosfos say. You can just have it here. This is what the Ramban says in Sefer Mitzvos as well. But if you look here at Tosis in Ksubis, and that is, let's see if I can find it here. Tosis in Ksubis Chaf al Minal. I'm going to skip some of the Gemara because I don't want to spend so much time on this right now. And that is the idea, which I'll try to find in just a second.
Page 223.
Page 223 is where it starts. I'm not going to read the whole thing, because I'm trying to save time a little bit. So it starts 23, and then it continues with 38. One second. Let's continue that. Go to page 3 for a minute. Here it is. Page 3, line 3. All right, 3-3. So this is where, you know, basically Tosa's struggling with this question. Tosa's explains. Veishlama de lo choshev shtar elokisha asui bidas shneim. Bidas alov shulchayim. Az choshev shtar. Aval hakashe kosev oi duso shalom bidas alov lo choshev shtar. Ah. That's the key line. And that's the view of Bali Tosas in Bava Basra, Dafnem, and Nibamos, and a whole bunch of other places. This is the view of the Ramban, many other Rishonim. What does it mean? What it means is, a shtar, the key element of the shtar is Das HaMishayim. Meaning the shtar, the Eidos of the shtar, are commissioned by the Mishayim. Right? Meaning the Baal, you know, is the one who commands, you know, the Edom to sign the shtar. Right? And the Lova, right, is the one who requests that Edom, you know, prepare a shtar milva. And the Mocher is the one, right, who, you know, prepares the shtar and requests, you know, Edom to sign. So the point is, what Mipiyam Piksavam is when Edim take the initiative, no one requests of them, it's not a reflection of the commitment or the will, right, or the intentions of the Baldavar. It's, you know, more like typical, detached, objective testimony. Like you know, what are Edim Alpeh? They're not conditioned by anybody. If there are, actually, it's a problem, right? We want them to be as objective as possible. They happen to be present, or maybe they were asked to be present in some cases, but that's just a coincidence. Edus alpeh is an objective endeavor. But a shtar, you know, you can't write a shtar for a transaction, you know, without the express command of the Mishayim. The only exception to that in Dini Mamelis, as we discussed last year, is Kinyan Sudar. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim ve'ein tzarich lomar ksavo. And most Rishonim think that even though you don't need, you know, to commission it, you could stop it. But any other kinyan, you know, you don't even need to commission it. I'm sorry, you need to commission it. You don't, you know, have to stop it. Okay. So the point is that Eidus picks up. That's how Tosfos explained. The Gemara in Ksuvos talks about. So if you look here for a minute. If you look on page 2, line 18, talk about a kosef odem eduso al ashtar umeid alav filo lachar kamashanim. Like a person writes a diary, or he writes, you know, he writes down testimony that he experienced. So the Gemara discusses v'ushan zokar miatzma. Rabbi Yochanan says afim b'shein zokar miatzma. Can he use that to jog his memory about the event and then go testify orally? So all about what Tosas here is all about is Tosas asks, like, you know, why doesn't he just take the, you know, the diary, you know, and bring it to court? You know, like a shtar, even if he doesn't remember. Right? Similarly, the Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, Gemara talks about whether or not, you know, there's man in Kiddushin. The Gemara says if there is, it would be a problem. Who are you going to leave the shtar with? Because it could be an explosive document, you know, etc. So it sounds like the Gemara is worried about, whether or not maybe you're going to look at this document and you don't really remember, and you're going to come to court and you're going to testify based on what you saw in the document, even though it doesn't jog your memory, you're just, you know, quoting the document. And if you do that, that's like aid me p'aid or me p'ksavam, etc. So Tosa says, like, what would happen if you just brought the shtar to court itself, even if you didn't remember anything? That shouldn't be a problem. So Bali Tosa say, you're right, that's not a problem. We're just worried that that's not going to happen. What's the difference between those cases? So that's what Tosa explains all over the place, and that's what the Balamor meant. The PM below me peaks above, right? When it comes to Eidos, you know, you have to come to court. You know, you can't take the initiative or be detached, third-party Eidim, and write your testimony and send it in. But that's not what a shtar is. A shtar is commissioned by the Mishayim. So the Mishayim sanctions this as Eidos. Now, how does that work? The way I explain it, based on my understanding of what Chaim really says, is that the Das of Mishayim creates a kind of, you know, open, you know, Eidos, like a blank check of Eidos. Like the Mishayim says, you sign, and when the other fellow, you know, is waving, you know, this contract, when he holds on to the contract, he's he has the right, I give him the right, to read your testimony into his plausible argument. That's Eidus Shebishtar, that's Reish Lakish. So, oh, what am I telling you? So that's the majority. Maybe Rashi hinted this too in Gittin, Ein Aleph Amud Beis. So the point is that while the Rambam, you know, seems to give wide latitude to Mipi Ksavim, and while Rabbeinu Tam, you know, gives, you know, wide latitude to Ishtar and very little, you know, space to Mipi Ksavim, you know, the majority view is like a 50-50 proposition. It's more like, well, if it's me, you know, if it's Dasa Mischayev, if it's Mipi Ksavo, that's Ishtar, that works Minat Torah. If it's Mipi Ksavim, they take the initiative in his objective Aiden, you know, instead of coming to court, they send in their testimony, then that doesn't work. Ah. So here's where the connection to the Rambam comes in. So the Rav said that Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam, which is the Rambam really distinguishes between Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya, but not like the Nesivos, right? But in a more fundamental way. So what's the difference? So I made one suggestion already, which I think is a little more connected to the language, but the family tradition, I guess, is a little bit different, and it goes as follows. The Rambam also thinks that the difference between Ishtar and the Pimvodom Piksavam is Dasa Mischayev. If you have Dasa Mischayev, right, then that will sanction, you know, the Ishtar and the Eidus Shebishtar, and that will work Minat Torah. However, you only really have Dasa Mischayev in Ishtar Kinyan. Because what does Dasa Mischayev mean? It means that you're committing yourselves, right, to this contract, right? What really constitutes a significant commitment, right? So any Ishtar Kinyan requires a significant commitment because it reflects a change of title. Right? A transformation of some sort. I used to own this property and I'm giving it up. I used to be married, you know, to this person and I'm terminating that. I used to be single and whatever, and now I'm changing my status, you know, to being married. Right? Those are all Dasa Mischayev. Those are all commitments. And the commitment creates a kind, I'll use my language, a kind of blank check of Eidus, you know, in the process. However, is there any Dasa Mischayev in Ishtar Raya? What does it mean? It means like this. You sold your property, Reuven sold his property to Shimon. He didn't sell it with the Ishtar. He sold it with Kesef, or Kinyan Sudar, or Chazaka. Okay, so now what? Now what is he doing? He's commissioning a Ishtar Raya. Is there any additional commitment here? He already gave up his field, right? He already decided to extend the loan, assuming that's Ishtar Raya. So there is a kind of commitment, but it's a kind of a curious commitment, meaning the commitment is either Nechasim Meshubadim, Kviyim Nechasim Meshubadim, like what will the collection look like if there's a collection? The collection is down the road, and the collection is B'di'eved if the guy doesn't pay back the way he should. Right? Or there are mostly two consequences to Ishtar Raya. We talked about this in Ksav Yad, right? One is Gviyah Menachasim Shibadim, collection from lien property. And the other one is Ishtar Chaviyadi, my boy. The ability, you know, to fend off the claim that you already paid me back. That's a matter of just truth and falsehood. Right? Meaning that's all about who do you believe. So is there such a thing as Dasa Mischayev if it only expresses itself either in the mode of repayment, and not the obligation to repay, but the mode of repayment or the scope of repayment, or in, you know, negating or expanding the ability, you know, to lie or to, you know, to deny? Is that Dasa Mischayev? Certainly not comparable, you know, to the Dasa Mischayev of getting married or getting divorced or selling your property, right? So that maybe that's the idea of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, listen, The difference between Piyam Lom Piksavam and Shtar is like Tosa says, like the Balamor says, like the Ramban says. Namely, is this based on Dasa Mischaiv? Is Dasa Mischaiv energizing, you know, this Avis Piksav and turning it into a Shtar and not just Avis Piksav? Or not? Yeah, but as far as that is concerned, that's the difference between a Shtar Kinyan and a Shtar Raya. In a Shtar Kinyan, there's always Dasa Mischaiv, and therefore the Avis of the Shtar, the Raya part of the Shtar Kinyan, is also Minat Torah. Right? But the Shtar Raya, the Dasa Mischaiv is meager. And, you know, that meager Dasa Mischaiv does not a Shtar make. You know, so it remains Minat Torah, Mipik Savam, and if not for Lotin Ovelis, Pifte Lovin, it wouldn't work. Okay. Either way, of course, if that is all true.
Who commissions the Shtar Raya? The Malva?
No, the Lova.
The Lova. Yeah. Why should he commission it?
I'm sorry? Why should he? Because
why
he wants
he
to.
Shtar Raya?
It could be that he wants to encourage the Malva to lend him money.
The deal was made already. I mean, the guy lent him the money already.
No.
Why wouldn't he encourage him?
No. Maybe he'll only do it under those conditions. Or he wants to, he wants to entice him. I need a $1 million loan. I'll draw up a contract.
Okay.
Or the other guy says, I'm not doing it unless you draw up a contract. But he still has to be the one to draw up.
But purely a Shtaraya, not a Shtaraya.
That's a Shtaraya.
Not a Shtaraya.
That's a Shtaraya.
After the deal is made, then he writes a Shtaraya.
No. It doesn't have to be after. I mean, it could be after, too, but after is even less Dasa Mischaiv, even if it's Bishaito. As long as it's not the source of the Kinyan, the source of the Kinyan is going to be something else. It's not an expansive Dasa Mischaiv. That's what we're trying to say. Okay, so of course if that's true, and there's a distinction between Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya regarding the Raya part being Doraisa, the Eidos part being Doraisa Drabanan, that will inoculate the Rambam from a lot of, you know, criticism and a lot of problems. Okay. Now, what about the other side of Reish Lakish? Not the, you know, what's wrong with Vipiyam Vilam Piksavam and what is its scope, but like, how does Reish Lakish all of a sudden, what about the catch 22 and all of that? So here we encounter, again, this massive argument. So we already talked about the Rambam a little bit. At least in Hilchos Geirushin, the Rambam seems to say that there is a circumstance in which the requirement of Kiyum Shtaros is going to be Minat Torah. I mean, if you don't have Kiyum Shtaros, the Vlad is going to be a mamzer if she remarries based on this particular get. And that needs to be explained on the bank, because our Gemara says that Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan, meaning the need for Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan. The Minat Torah, the defensive mechanism of the Shtar, is almost total, or it is total. Ah. So this is a problem. Cite the problem, then I'm going to read you some of we're going to get meshed in this very messy, fascinating case, which was like the case. Not the case of the century, the case of centuries, because it crystallized all these discussions, which is a very fascinating thing. But before I get to that, because that's going to, consume us, we'll talk about just the Rambam for a minute. So there is a way to get out, just to be, take the simpler, Rambam text in this respect for the moment. There is a way to explain the Gemara. Meaning, our Gemara says Kiyum Shtaros is Drabanan. The Rambam is describing a case of Kiyum Shtaros Doraisa. So if you just look at the Gemara itself, and this is what Rabbi Avigdor in that other case that I was referring to in a moment, points out, and that is, the Gemara here never said that there's no such thing as Kiyum Shtaros Doraisa. The Gemara here never said explicitly that if the Baal is Ma'arir, that if he challenges the validity of the Ged, right, that, Minat Torah, Reish Lakish covers it, when it's only a Din Drabanan that we're worried about it. That's not what the Gemara said, because there's a case missing in the Gemara. I mean, really, what the Gemara is saying is, goes back to the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says, that if Hamebi gave him Dina Sayyam, right? So Klomar Befanenechta. Meaning, that's a proactive requirement. That's a Kumvase requirement, Midrabanan. Like if you bring a get from a Dina Sayyam, right? Then we need you to do something, you know, to affirm the authenticity of this get, even though the affirmation is taking a questionable form because it's only made echad, you know, saying this text of b'fanei nachtam, we need you to do that, meaning let's spell it out. If this was a, you know, internal Eretz Yisrael affair, we wouldn't need that because we're not concerned that we're not going to be able to hunt down the Edom if it becomes necessary, and we would let you, get divorced and then remarry, you know, without any additional requirement. Meaning, we wouldn't be fearful that there would be an error, and that once there's an error, we wouldn't have a response, because Edom Amritsuyim L'Kaim, but we think if there's an error, we could figure it out then, and therefore we wouldn't be imposing, right, the requirement, you know, to partially, let's call it, you know, authenticate the shtar. So what's the missing case? The missing case is followed. The Gemara never said explicitly that the kiyum shtaros, that is only derabanan, right, refers to a case of neutralizing the challenge of the baal. What the Gemara is minimally talking about is that kiyum shtaros is derabanan, right, when we're concerned lest there be a challenge and therefore require a kubase, a proactive, you know, measure, you know, that even in absence of an actual challenge, before you use this shtar, you know, in a way that is, you know, potentially going to cause problems. Everybody with me? In other words, the Mishnah is talking about a positive requirement of b'fanei nachtam, which the Gemara describes as kiyum shtaros d'rabbanan. The Gemara doesn't say here explicitly that if the baal is ma'arer, either in this case or in another case, that kiyum shtaros is only d'rabbanan. And that's what Rabbi Avigdor, in the Mordechai, which we'll get to the messy case in just a minute, that's what he points out correctly. However, you know, if it were that simple, so there's a way for the Rambam to read this Gemara. The Gemara says that kiyum shtaros is only drabanan, you know, and therefore, or in the sense that, until there is a challenge, right, we don't require any authentication min haTorah. Of course, if there is a challenge, then all bets are off, then we have to look at that question again. And the Rambam's telling you, if there's a challenge, then you need kiyum shtaros d'oraisa. And therefore, if you don't have it, then the child is going to be a mamzer that is reborn, that is born after the second, you know, or what looked like a second marriage, but which was a violation of Eishes Ish. Okay. The problem with this is the Gemara later on Vav Amud Beis. And this is a significant problem. Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph and Vav Amud Beis discusses, again, the Mishnah says, I may be getting Dinas Hayam. Let's say you mean you're maybe get Eretz Yisrael. You don't need b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam. And what does the Mishnah say on Beis Amud Aleph? Last line. Maybe get Eretz Yisrael. Of course, if there's a challenge, then yiskayim b'chosama. So what will happen in the following case? Let's say it's a maybe get Eretz Yisrael. Right? And you don't need to say b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam. But let's say the shliach did. He volunteered, b'fanei nechta. And then the baal was ma'arer. Does the b'fanei nechta help you? Or not? Right? So that would seem to be like an equivalent question to the Rambam's case. In other words, when there is an iur habal, you know, are we applying, do we need a d'oraisa defense? Or a b'fanei nechta, a d'rabbanan defense? You need a d'rabbanan defense only if you have to fend off a d'rabbanan problem, namely, Reish Lakish works min haTorah, everybody with me? And kiyum shtaros is only a din d'rabbanan. So, you know, b'fanei nechta is a good enough solution. But if you're going to say that when the baal is ma'arer, whether it's after b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, those types of things you make, or in a case where you don't need b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, you know, that creates a daraisa, that's a different story. So there is this Gemara that seems to say that, let's go back to this case now, in Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara seems to say that, Rav Chanin, this is three lines from the bottom, Rav Chanin Mishtoi, Rav Kahana Aisi Gita, V'lo Yadana Im Yisur L'Nardoi, Minardoi L'Sura, Asa L'Kamid D'Rav, Omalei, Tzorichna L'Mem R'Fanei Nachtam, R'Fanei Nachtam, O Lo, Tzorichna. And if you go from the Nardoi to Surah, or Surah to Nardoi, do you need to say R'Fanei Nachtam or not? Omalei Lo, Tzorichas, you don't need it. But, of this, if you did say B'Fanei Nachtam, R'Fanei Nachtam, even though you're not required to, ahanis, it will work. Says the Gemara, my iavdis ahanis, what does that mean? Di'i osi bal me'arer lo mashgachinam bei. That if the Baal were to come and challenge, and you know, preemptively, even though you didn't need to, said b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, right, that would protect your get against the Iror Habal. So it sounds like this Gemara is telling us, look, if you look at Tosas here on the top, on Vav Amud Beis, Tosas vi of the Sahanis, Mashma de Fanei Nechtam Moel Be'eretz Yisrael, etc. I mean, this means if you were to, you don't need the Fanei Nechtam in Eretz Yisrael, but if you were to have it, you know, it would work. So, it, you know, this Gemara becomes a serious problem for the Rambam. And it's a question that the Orzarua hints at very strongly. And in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Poskim, the Shach, you know, was very troubled by this. And once the Shach, you know, articulated the question, everybody was upset about it. Okay. So it isn't just the Rambam. It's also a massive argument. There's this fascinating case. We'll just begin it, and I guess we'll. But it's just a very, you know, interesting tale because, again, of course, the basic questions that underlie this issue, you know, is Kim Shtaros ever Doraisa? Is there a weakness in Reish Lakish? And the bigger conceptual question, what do we mean, and to what extent is it true that, you know, a contract protects itself? You know, that, you know, this catch-22 idea, and how exactly does that really work? So the questions are endemic, you know, like, why would this work? When doesn't it work? We have this classic case, but there's a gap in the case, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in the real world, sometimes it takes a massive battle, you know, to crystallize, you know, the different, you know, positions. So once this event took place, and this argument, you know, over it, like, that became, you know, the locus classicus. That became, like, the text. So it's a really fascinating case. So look, turn here on to the Mordechai for a minute. It's quoted in Hagos Mordechai in Kiddushin, and a slightly different version with more details in the Orzarua. It's a, again, we're just going to be able to start it, but what page is this? Is it on page 5? Yeah, page 5, starting 20 or 22, yeah. Tavkuf Samach Tes in Kiddushin. This is an exchange between, this is the Mordechai, this is the, this is the text of what happened in the Psak of Avigdor. And, you know, it's very, there's a whole family bit here, his Rebbe, his father-in-law, like, it's all very exciting. And the response is actually in the Orzarua, but it wasn't known by many people it wasn't known for centuries, that the response was the Orzarua. So what happened was the Marik quoted the response, And most people saw it through the Marik and didn't even know that it was the Orzarua. And Ad Kedei Kach, that, you know, there were people who paskened like Rabbi Avigdor, because they weren't aware that the opposition was a contemporary. They thought the opposition was 300 years or 400 years later. You know, so they said, got to paskin like Rabbi Avigdor. Then the Shach said, you know, the Ma'arik isn't speaking for himself. The Ma'arik is quoting so. He also didn't seem to know it was the Or Zerua. But he said he's quoting, obviously, a contemporary of Rabbi Avigdor. And, you know, none of these people would have passed him that way if they had realized that it was a Rishon, a contemporary who was, you know, formulating the opposite. So there's like an interesting historical element in all this. But listen to this messy case. So Maisa Haya B'Shnei B'nei Adam, you'll tell me if I'm exaggerating. We're just going to start it, but... So there were these two people. Show you sonim zelaze. Okay, sound familiar? It's like terrible things, but we hear it all the time, you know. So these two people are, you know, have this terrible rivalry, or they hate each other. They're, you know, they're looking for ways, you know, to destroy each other's lives, you know. And in some cases, like to ensnare them, like it's like, you know, ba'isim shebechol yom, you know, human nature, and it's worse. So this one guy went out and he bribed, you know, like a free agent, you know, went to, you know, the Wagner Group or something or whatever it is. The ones in, you know, the other side of the world. I don't hope there's no local Wagners then, you know, Mashmitzing. So he's like, you know, some troublemaker for sale. And she yotzi laz albito shel chavero. So he wanted to get back at the guy by destroying the reputation of his, you know, of his daughter. How was he going to do that? To say shekidsha, to say that she, you know, had gotten married, you know, and then she wouldn't be able to, you know, move forward with her life. He wanted to put out the word, you know, that this guy's daughter was married. So what did he do? He hiskered him, you know. So he gave him, like, you know, an unlimited budget, I guess. And, you know, he hired witnesses. Sheidu, shekidshu, the kosfu shtar b'faneinu, and these Edom wrote a shtar. Now, this is a tricky business, because later on we'll see, you know, that was it mipik savam, or was it a shtar midas ha'mishai? Ah. But that isn't the main question. That's like a secondary question. That's where the Rebbe comes in. But anyways, the kosfu shtar b'faneinu, it's like all these issues come together in this messy case. And the kosfu shtar, right, they wrote, b'faneinu chasume mata, you know, in our presence, we, you know, the signed below, kidesh ploni es bas ploni, v'haya osa shtar mekuyam, behenpek, gimel dayanim. I thought he had like resources, so he had three dayanim, you know, who already signed on, you know, to authorize, you know, the to authenticate the signatures. Then it turns out they started doing, like, investigations, you know, and v'echad min ha'dayanim hayakarev l'nara, one of the judges was, you know, related to the girl. Uba karov echad min ha'chasumim alehen pek, and he and one of the other judges, but the third guy, whose name was supposedly on this authentication document, he refused to come to Bezdin. So you have one guy of the authorizers, authenticators, one guy who's a karov, one guy who's not a karov and who comes and claims that he's really authenticating the signature, and then the third guy who's the second guy who's not a karov, he refuses to come to court and to participate in all this. Lahoid al kacha, the gama ed machsum bishtar kiddushin machkijin ede henpek. Then they, you know, interview they find the identity of the people who are supposedly the ede kiddushin on the shtar, and they say, like, you know, this isn't our signature at all, right? But omer meolam lo chasamnu. They said, we never signed this document. It's our name. It's not our signature, and we know nothing about it. The god Balashtar, I know, Mekadesh Shatzmo. The Mekadesh shows up in court, and he says, you know, I don't know anything about this. He's Modesh Ashtar Shal Kedusha Mizuyef. In the Or Zerua version, it's like his father, you know, who's the troublemaker, who put him up for the whole thing. But he's like, has an attack of conscience, so he's saying, you know, this is all Mizuyef. Right? Veshivu Rabbanim Vihitiru below get. So the Rabbanim decided that this was, you know, not authentic, and they were, you know, matir her, you know, without the need for a get. Harava Bervigdar of Heshiv, right? Rav Avigdor was the one who stepped up. Kama Dio Mishtapech Vekubasim Mishtabrim, he goes a little bit of poetry here. Laroch Mareches, Bidvar Halachos, Lahavi Guvrin, Mishtare Berurin, Al Odos Ha'alma Haguna, this wonderful young girl, Asher Bikshu La'agna, they're trying to, chain her, by falsely claiming that she's married, Bekahalam B'sodam, Below Allah the Adam, the Shimon Levi, reference, they're trouble disruptors, but it didn't work. Kiatsur Magain Ba'ada, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, it's like good stuff. Lahamida al Kvoda. Vezot Tiela Le'eda. And this is, La'acharis Vitikva, Ki Ein Davar Shebe'er Pachas Mishnayim, Bekan Ein Shnayim, Ela Alpeh, Velo Ksav. Ki Osam, there's no Edis Alpeh, there's no Edis Biksav. Ki Osam Shnayim Ba'omer Bekir Mashnar. Kalsum be'edim, the osam be'sedim achsum mehi b'lefeyem, b'lefnei ha-shlishi al-ksav yodan, osam shlishi lo ba'al ha-bezdin, echam ne'lo ha-beis shabo lefnei bezdin shem chasum ala henpek, echam em karv l'nara, machmas ishto, nimsa she'en kan ela echad, she'omer she'edim yidu al-ksav yodan. There's only one legitimate authenticator, Dayan. V'af lefi dvarav lo niskayim b'gimel, even he's agreeing, that there weren't three, he's just saying that he knows the signatures to be true. Shafilo hoy kol shlosh tov fanenu vayomrim sheinu enam aksav yadam lefneim ein ze kiyum ho ve'echad karo v'kaman galeis adami. Like everybody, they all have to, it's objectively established that one of them is a karo. De'ein hefpeik v'pachas migim. V'hod amar azal, what about Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish says if a star appears in Bezdin, it has the presumption always, Minat Torah, of being authentic. And therefore, you should need a get. So this is the key line. Eidem achsum al-ashtar nasa k'mishun echra jisim b'pezdim. D'maisi b'gmar didon b'perak kama d'gittin. U b'perak sheni d'ksuvos. B'im kein hachanami hold eidem achsum b'shtar mi'idim shakitsha. So what we should apply, the din of Rish Lakish, which is that since our eidem, there's a document, a contract. It has signatures, which implies signators. So even though there's so much error out there, right? It's a crazy amount of error, crazy amount of challenges. The whole thing reeks of deception. But still, what about Rish Lakish, right? In Cain, Afagav the Amr Mielam Lo Chasamnu, the Kalmakom Hayulon Lachush. Right? Hold the Ede Henpek Meidim Bifneim Sheidu Al Ksav Yadam. So, what about the other side? Yesh Lomar. This is the key chiddush of Rabbi Avigdor. Ikra Shomem Razudu Reish Lakish Ubi Yerushalmi Deber Kamedik Tzuvas. The main Reish Lakish is actually regarding the principle of Kivit Shehigit Shuvah Nechozer Magid, which we saw last week. V'ha'chisa Hasam Tanya V'cheinu Edim Sheidu. Bein l'tame, bein l'tar, bein l'rachik, bein l'kari, bein l'isur, bein l'hefter, bein l'skos, bein l'kova, ad shlo nechra, this is the Bezdin, as long as they haven't come to Bezdin, omru mevudin mayinu nemanin. If they, they don't come to Bezdin, and then they retract, they say, we were just joking, or, it was a hoax, we believe them. Avalim omru mishunachku bebezdin mevudin mayinu. But after they come to court and they testify, then the next morning, they claim that it was a hoax, ein nemanin. That's the din of Kivin Shigit Shuvah Nechozer Magid. Tobias Zushni and Perik Shani Liksuvas. Bitosefto Bissanhedrin Perik Vav Reish Lakish Amar. Also Eidem Achsum Alashtar Kivisa Nechra Jisun Divezin. And the Gemara says, what's true for Eidus Alpeh is true for Eidus Bishtar, just by virtue of the fact that they wrote it in a star. Mina Shamina, the Ika Milsa, the main point of Reish Lakish, Le'inan Chazari Etmar. That's what the Ritva, if you remember last week, we read a Ritva. So the main din of Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish appears twice in Chas. One in Archimar here in Gittin, about the self-defense mechanism against Tainus Mizuya. And the other in the Gemara and Ksuvah, Tafir Kassel Beis, about Kivin Shehigit Shuvin Achaz Nemag. That once you testify, you can't claim, I didn't mean it. But the Ritva originally claimed, and this is also the claim of Rabbi Avigdor, that the primary application of Reish Lakish is Kivin Shehigit Shuvin Achaz Nemag. Okay. Just as in verbal edus, who they can't be chozer, they can't retract. Achar chatira, achanami b'shtar, lamotzi hadru achar chasima de chasima b'makom chatira kaima. The signing of a contract is equivalent to interrogation and being, you know, investigated and found authentic by the court. The Afal Gav, but you can't deny that there's also the Gemara in Gittin that says Reish Lakish regarding self-defense. Dimereish Gittin Demaisi Olomai Risha Edim Amrushu Ksav Yadon. That's not a case where they agree that the text is authentic, but they're claiming, you know, that they're retracting. Miu Einom Riblo Chasamnu Don Nisnayu Kaman. But they're also not, they're not saying we didn't sign it, right? Aval, one second. Be'uvda didon she'omer be'olam lo chasamnu. The case of the Gemara is not a case where the Edom say we didn't do it. We didn't sign it. We didn't sign it is different than saying we signed it but we were joking. Right? So let's say the Edom were to come to court and say it's not our signature. There's no evidence that Reish Lakish ever said that. The Ein Machishin al Echad Mila Dayanim Shabai Makarov, and no one's, you know, opposing this new statement of the Edim saying, like, we didn't, this isn't us. You know, the only one, only one of three Dayanim, Hasam Dvar B'Talin. The Ode, you can see how this is building. He starts off by saying, the Edim themselves say it's a fraud. Like, let's say the Edim are claiming it's not them. That's A. B, the Ode, Shabalashtar Oxmo Modeshu Mizuya. The Baal here says it's a fraud. Hilkachalayu Samchina. So that supports the Aden. It sounds like you need both. But then he says, Odnir Delo Isa Dereish Lakish, Elba Makom Nizaki, She'ein Makhishin, Bahu Dereish Gitin Ache Perusha. The Dinu Dekim Staros, Velo Lisni Hechidaleka Chasha, Kidereish Lakish Dominated Makasumin. The Rabbanan who the Atsra Kim Shar Staros betray. So basically what he's saying is, what the Gemara really means, the Gemara never said that under all conditions when you challenge a contract, it defends itself. The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara just said, if you have a din drabanan, right, that you can't proceed and use a contract without some sort of a validation, right, that requirement going forward, in the absence of an error, just as a positive requirement, that's a din d'rabbanan, because Reish Lakish, all things being equal, protects against that. Right? So, for example, kigon baron poli paro shlom paro. Let's say a person wants to collect, and the other party's not there, so he wants to seize assets from his property. Right? He has a shtar. Right? The other guy's not being ba'arer. You know, you should be able to do it. Minat Torah, or minat Yisomim, or lekuchos, or bal baharshad, the tiny in a mizuyef. But they'll say maybe it's forgery. Maybe it's forgery is not a good enough claim. But lo gav the adam mekayim le betray. That's midrabana. The halchem yishim aguna sogi bechad eich shein makpishin. Avodav dekim aget haynu befanay nachdam fanay nachdam. Eli alim shem shchash chashash dag chasha. Dim yavo bal viarer, but hashlemi eloasi. The lake akasha to come on. The lake adika akasha come on. A filim in a rice of boy kium. Vilo mekaimi chaspa bi almohu. I'm going to stop here, but let me tell you what happened. So this is Rabbi Vigdar's big chiddush, that the Gemara in Gittin isn't telling you that Irur Habal is only a problem drabanan, which can be solved, therefore, by the Fonay Nachtam, Fonay Nachtam. All the Gemara in Gittin is telling you is that midrabanan, you need some positive affirmation about the contract. Minatora, until there's any kind of real error, right, the shtar defends itself. But if there's an error, either mitzad ha'edim or mitzad ha'bal, midaraisa, you need eidikiyu. That is the position of Rabbi Vengar. Then the orzarua, I'm going to stop here because it's too late. So just to look for a second, just to see, there's more in Rama Vigdar, but if you look at the next page, on page 7, you have the Orzarua Chelagalit, a tshuva at the end. It's a tshuva, they were colleagues, tshuva la Rama Vigdar, a lot of poetry in the beginning. Ra'isi mayin amiskaber, okar horenu mishaber, amazbir savar, amazbir shever, V'namar yosher v'davar pesher m'fareshu v'yasher. A beautiful poetry. And then he basically says, you know, I love you, Rav Avigdor, you know, you're my hero. You know, then he says, how could you write, you know, such a tshuva? It's against Reish Lakish. You know, you're destroying shtaros. Okay, so we'll have to, the Mir Tzachem will join the argument, but it's there in the nuances of the argument, and this got picked up by the Poskim. As I say, there was a confusion who wrote this, because they didn't have the Orzarua. They had it through the Marik, so I thought it was centuries later. Either way, the discussions that it engendered really pushed the frontiers of the whole topic, meaning, you know, the different cases and so on and so forth, in a very illuminating and interesting way. Okay.